If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 1 to verse 13. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. I've entitled my message, The Hiding Place. The Hiding Place. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Verse 1. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals. In some translation you might say, now the serpent. But in NIV it says, now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the snake, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the snake said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Let me read that again. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? You know, when we read the creation narrative found in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we often hear this famous declaration, it was good. You know, when we read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we read it, it was good. God said, it was good. And in most of our conversations, see, whenever creation narrative or even Genesis is mentioned, we naturally start from the fall. But in truth, the story does not start with the fall. The story starts with God. The account starts with God. You see, in the beginning, God, according to His own divine will and plan, created the world and everything in it. And it was good. He didn't just create it just for the sake of creating it. He didn't just create it because He was God. He created it. He looked at it. And to God, it was good. And if to God it was good, it was good. Amen? It was good. This means that everything God made was good and nothing was lacking. There was nothing lacking. Every creation was His divine design. His divine design. He took time. He designed it. Louise, when God made you, He designed you. He took time. Amen? And fulfilled His divine purpose. The creation reflected the splendor, the majesty, and the glory of God. Amen. I would have loved to be there when God created the heavens and the earth. I would have loved to be in that place, to see the reflection of the splendor, of the majesty, and glory of God. See, however, sin brought a rebellion against God and His divine purpose. Timothy Tennant, in his article, I was doing a bit of research and I came across Timothy Tennant. In his article, What is Sin and How Did It Enter into the Human Race? Okay, if you want to do a bit of reading yourself, it's from an article called What is Sin and How Did It Enter into the Human Race? He wrote this, "Sin is all the ways we rebel against God and resist His work in the world. However, sin is not ultimately rooted in our disobedience to a set of commandments. Sin is at its root the sign of broken relationship. Sin is a sign of broken relationship. We were created to live in perfect harmony with God and our neighbor. Sin manifested itself in a wide array of broken relationships with God and with our neighbor, and even with the creation itself. In one way or another, sin is rooted in putting ourselves first, resulting in our inability to properly love God and our neighbor." Sin is rooted in putting ourselves first, resulting in our inability to properly love God. That's what sin did. Stopped us from loving God. Stopped us from seeing God and knowing God. And hence resulting in Adam following his own will in the place of God's will. So let's look at what he says again in Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1 to 5. Starts with, "Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." Okay? And in some translation, like I said, it also says serpent instead of snake. And although the text does not directly identify the serpent as Satan, there are other references in the Bible which tells us that Satan was in the Eden. Okay? Garden of Eden. If you've got your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. If you're taking notes, you can write it down as well. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Here it says, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." This is talking about Satan. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was the covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, and sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." So he was in the garden, but not only that, he had every precious stones covering him, the scripture says. See, the scripture describes Satan as more cunning and crafty than any other beast. So the tempter was cunning and crafty than any of the beast in the garden. And here in this account, Satan's craftiness takes place in four stages. Satan's craftiness takes place in four stages. The first stage, he goes to the woman. He goes to the woman. In other words, he waited until she was alone and vulnerable. He waited until Eve was alone and vulnerable. Satan brought his temptation against the woman because he perceived she was more vulnerable to attack. The reason why he perceived she was more vulnerable to attack, because she did not receive direct instructions from God himself, but she received instruction from her husband, Adam. Yeah. And when Satan saw Adam and Eve in the garden, I believe Satan waited for that perfect timing when she caught Eve at her weakest, yeah, or in her weakest. And not only that, but when she was tempted by Satan, do you remember, she does not seek counsel from Adam. They don't talk to one another. She does not even seek counsel from God. She makes an instant decision there and then. She makes that instant decision there and then. In Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, 1 Timothy 2, 13 and 14, it says, "For Adam was formed first and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. I use this scripture to back what I said about Eve being on her own. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. In other words, what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this? Satan waited until she was alone and vulnerable. There's another scripture found in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. It says, sin is crouching at your door. In other words, sin is always there waiting to devour you. And it says, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Amen. You must master it. We have all the tools that we need. God has given us all the tools that is necessary to rule over every dart of the enemy. He has given us everything we need to prepare ourselves for the battle. Church, we don't like hearing these messages, but the truth is we are in a spiritual warfare. There is a battle raging. And that battle is against us and the forces of evil. But we need to remember this. The victory is ours. Amen. On that cross, Jesus won the victory.
Amen.
Jesus won the victory. Amen. See, the first craftiness of Satan is he will try to catch us. Okay, let me say this. He will try to catch us when we are at our weakest. When things aren't going well. When the scammer got hold of your details and took all the money from your account, that's the moment he's waiting for.
Yeah.
When you haven't got money and the heating system in your house is starting to act up and you haven't got money for the heating, that's when the Satan is ready.
Yeah.
All them little things. No, we talk about the spiritual things in general, but all them little things, them little clicks,
He
can use them only if we give him the permission. Only if we give him the permission. Sin is crouching at your door, but you must master over it. Even when things aren't going well, church, let's stand together.
Amen.
Even when things aren't going well, let's continue to worship.
Yeah.
It's great worshiping when things are going great. But it's really hard to worship when things aren't going too great. When you're not feeling great yourself. It's hard to worship. But it's in that moment when you worship, you will see a breakthrough. It's in that moment when you worship, you will see your faith rising and you will be an overcomer in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We have to keep pressing on. We have to keep pressing on.
We have the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
So that was the first stage in this account. Satan waited until she was alone and vulnerable. The second stage, he casted doubt on God's word by twisting the truth. He casted doubt on God's word by twisting the truth. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say? You know, I came across this another statement which speaks volume on this matter. And the author writes it this way. Satan's first attack was leveled against the word of God.
Yeah.
If he could make Eve confused about what God said or to doubt what God said, then his battle was partially won.
Yeah.
Then his battle was partially won. You know, Satan whispers in your ears. He whispers, you have been praying for so long, but you don't see any changes. Do you really want to continue praying? Perhaps you've been helping someone and you've not seen any changes taking place in that situation. Satan whispers in your ears, all this hard work and you've got nowhere with it. Do you still want to continue with this? And perhaps even you're seeking for direction. You're seeking for guidance and wisdom. And Satan's whispers in your ear. And he tells you, listen, just pack it up. This isn't for you. Just pack it up. But I want to tell you something this afternoon, church. Don't listen to him. Amen. Don't listen to him. Amen. When the next time Satan whispers in your ears, tell him, stop.
Amen.
I'm not having it. Stop.
Amen.
Because it's not true. Come on, church. It's not true. Amen. It's not true. He's a liar.
Yeah.
Even perhaps today, your mind's been filled with so much lies. He's been whispering in your ears all week, telling you this and that. Tell him. Look him in the face and tell him, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Because I know who I am.
Amen.
And the promises that God has for me is greater than all the lies that you've given me.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, church. We have to stand up. We have to take our stand. Enough of it.
Yeah.
We've been playing victims for years. It's time to rise up and be victors in Jesus Christ. Because the victory is ours. It's been done. Jesus said it is finished. And if he said it is finished, it's finished. It's finished. Amen. God wants us here. That's what we're here.
Amen.
We're not here just by coincidence. No. The fact that you walked through them doors today,
yes.
You were meant to be here.
Amen.
The fact that God brought us in intake about 7-8 years ago, this wasn't just an accident that was waiting to be happened. No, God brought us here because He had a purpose.
Amen.
In this place. We are here not for ourselves. We are here for the broken people in this community. We are here for Jesus.
Amen.
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 We are here for Jesus, church. Come on.
Amen.
And the third stage. So second stage was he casted doubt on God's word by twisting the truth. Did God really say? Did you really hear God? Is this really what God wants it to do? All these sort of things. Don't listen to him. Seek the truth. Amen. Seek the truth. Know the truth because it is the truth that will set us free.
Yes.
That will set us free. The third stage is this, Satan's craftiness in this account in the garden. He gets her to doubt God's goodness. He gets her to doubt God's word. And if that wasn't enough, he gets her to doubt God's goodness. Okay? In verse 2 it says, the woman said to the snake, a serpent, we may eat from fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Then, in verse 4, it says, you will certainly not die. The snake said to the woman, but listen to his craftiness. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He's a liar. He goes on further. He says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, what he's really saying here is, God lied to you. God's been holding all these things for you. He doesn't want to give it to you. Because if he gives it to you, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what he's been holding in the back. He's not a good God. He's not a good God. So he gets her to doubt the goodness of God. You see, and this famous question that keeps lurking in the air whenever we hear rumors of war, whenever we hear all these bad things taking place. If there is a good God, why all these bad things keep happening? If there is God, why is this? Why is that? If there is God, it's always God. It's always God. All the blame always goes to God. When things are going great, nobody praises God. Nobody thanks God. But when things are going bad, it's like, oh, God, I hate God. All these sort of things that comes out break my heart. Because God loves us. If only we understand and grasp hold of His love for us, nobody would use these statements like, I hate God. Nobody would say that. If only one came to understand the love of God for them. We are participants of His divine restoration. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The fourth stage of Satan's craftiness in the Garden of Eden. He makes the lie more attractive than the truth. He makes the lie more attractive than the truth. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it.
She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. See, he tempted her with the fruit that was good and pleasing to the eye, but did not show the consequence that was going to take place because of their actions. See, this is why many are stuck in addiction these days. They see the buzz, they feel the buzz, they feel the highs and the lows that they feel from these drugs and alcohol and whatever, but they don't see the effects of it because it's instant there and then. See, even a lot of people go into debt these days, very early in their age, because we have all this advertising going on the telly these days, buy now, pay later. And when you pay later, you haven't got money because you're stacked up with all these bills to pay. So you've got no money left to save. See, all the advertising that we see is actually designed to make us act. These days, like, you watch some of the adverts and it don't even make sense. What did I just watch? Whoa, what was that? I was watching an advert the other day, and it was a very emotional advert. And in the end, it was actually about a car. And I'm thinking, this doesn't go together, you know. What's emotions to do with car? You know, it was just trying to get your attention. And as soon as it got your attention, boom, here's the car, buy this car. Okay? And that's exactly what the enemy does. That's exactly what Satan does. He grabs your emotions. He tries to get your attention. And as soon as you give him the attention, boof, he fills you with the lie. And he makes the lie more attractive than the truth. He tells you, don't worry about it. It's not going to do you harm. Sounds very much like the truth. Don't worry about it. It's not going to do you any harm. But in reality, it will do you harm. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. See, the cycle needs to stop. The cycle needs to stop. This four stages has been going on and on and on and on for years. And that cycle needs to stop. It's already been stopped, but we keep going back. We keep retelling ourselves these pathetic lies of the enemy. Then we feed on these lies. Not only that, but we recharge these lies and we keep going back to these lies. In verse 7 and verse 10, it says, then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. And going on to verse 9, it says, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Where are you? You know, and this is a very personal question for each and every one of us as well. Where are we? Where are we? Where are we? You know, and in this account, we see this beautiful picture of redemption and salvation at the same time in the very Genesis narrative. Okay, and we talk about salvation quite a lot in the New Testament, but to understand the New Testament, we need to have good understanding of the Old. To understand what Jesus said when he said we need to have good understanding of the Old Testament. Because whatever Jesus spoke was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Okay? New Testament, Old Testament, they are one testament. And we need to see and read Bible as one whole text. Amen? Not just individual text, but as one whole text. But coming back to this thing about In this Genesis account, we see that Adam and Eve, they've both messed up now. They've messed up. They've messed up bad. Okay, and they're in a mess. And as soon as they hear God, what do? They hide. They hide from God. Before, when God would walk in the garden, both of them would be very excited to meet with God, to spend time with God, to sit with God, to talk with God. But as soon as sin entered, they both became fearful of God. They both were afraid of God. They ran away from God. Not ran to God, they ran away from God. See, sin was now active in both Adam and Eve, and they were now under the realm and influence of sin. But here's the beautiful picture. God did not wait for Adam and Eve to come and confess, but rather God came to Adam and Eve. God went to see Adam and Eve in that garden. They were hiding from God, but it was actually God who made the first move to go and see them. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God was the first one who made the move to go and see Adam and Eve. And it's a picture of God's heart. It's a picture of His grace. It's a picture of His mercy. All the way throughout the history, it's always been God who's made the first move. When David was caught up in sin, God sent Prophet Nathan. So that was God making the move. When Moses was in the wilderness, God, Exodus account, God made the move. All the way throughout the history, we see the mess that we've made because of sin, yet it's always been God with His loving hands guiding us, protecting us, loving us. Where are you? You see, sin makes you hide from God. Sin makes you run from God. Sin makes you compromise with the things that isn't of God. Sin makes you afraid of God. But this is the word of the Lord to us this afternoon. Come out of your hiding. Come out of your hiding. You don't have to hide no more. Hide no more. That's the word of the Lord. Hide no more. Come out of your hiding. He knows. God knew the mess Adam and Eve were in. He knew where they were before even He asked them, "Where are you?" God knew. But God just wanted to spend time with them so that God could show them. See, and perhaps we are here this afternoon and we've been in that hiding place, hiding from God. There are two types of hiding place. See, this is a hiding place we see in Genesis. But again, David talks about another hiding place. Hiding in His presence. There is hiding in His presence. They're hiding out of His presence. Although we cannot hide from His presence, we think we can hide from His presence. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's everywhere. See, some of the things we do when we do it in secret so that nobody sees us, God sees it. God knows it. See, and if I was to project all of the things I've done, I'd be the first one to run out of this building and say, "God, help me." See, it's the grace of God. We need to understand this. We keep preaching it. We keep preaching it. That's the message we've preached for years. Andrew and Grace, they've been preaching for more than 25 years. And 25 years ago, they got the promise, but they've been preaching it for years. David's been preaching it for years. Steve, Ken, everyone. Mike's been preaching it for years, the grace of God. Each and every one of us, we preach about it, but now is the time we need to know the grace of God. We need to understand the grace of God. And the grace of God will make you come out of your hiding place and run to His hiding place. Come out of that hiding place and run to His hiding place, because it is finished. It is finished. Those were the last words of Jesus. It is finished. Let the light shine in the darkness. Let the light shine in the darkness. Let the darkness flee. See, because the power of Christ is greater than the power of sin. The power of grace is greater than the power of sin. Christ has won the victory. Come out of the hiding. Hide no more. Come out of the hiding. Amen. Verse 11. And He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Who told you that you were naked?" So they were hiding. God, in the garden, He calls out to them, "Where are you?" God makes the first move. And again, God reminds them and asks them this question, who told you that? So two questions really. Where are you? Come out of the hiding. The second one is, who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that God does not love you? Who told you that God does not listen to you? Who told you that God cannot change you? Who told you that God cannot provide for you? Who told you that God isn't for you? Who told you that God is not there for you? Who told you that? See, these four stages, the lies the enemy whispers, we go around them and we believe them. But now it's time for church to stand and to turn deaf ears to the devil, to Satan. And now it's time for us to rise and take our rightful stand in Christ Jesus. Whose voice are you listening to today? Whose voice are you listening to today? First thing you wake up, whose voice do you listen to? Before you go to bed, whose voice do you listen to? See, we always get these two voices every time. Like I said earlier on, this is a warfare. This is a warfare. There's two forces raging. God's force and Satan's force. But let me tell you this, God's force has overcome the forces of Satan. Every time. You need to remember this. You need to know the truth. The truth is God has overcome. That's the end of. See, and we always go back to lies. It's just because sin is present. We always keep going back to the lies. But now it's really time. That's why I'm emphasizing on this a lot today. It's really time for us to stand, church. It's really time for us to mature. It's really time for us to grow and stand. This is something I had to preach to myself as well. Daniel, it's time for you to stand, to rise up and to take that rightful place that God has given you. We are participants in His divine purpose. God is bringing about a change. And that work has already been started. And now that power is sweeping across this land. Sweeping across the nations. People are coming to this understanding and realization of who Christ Jesus is. And this is all Christ is doing. It's time to rule and reign over the negative voices. Let the voice of the one who created you rule over the voices of the crafty and the cunning one who wants to deceive you. Let me say that again. Let me speak these over your life. Let the voice of the one who created you rule over the voice of the crafty and the cunning one who wants to deceive you. May the voice of the Lord be the loudest in our lives than any other voices that surrounds us. Amen. May the voice of the Lord who called us be the loudest in our lives than any voices that surrounds us in Jesus' name. Where are you, church? It doesn't matter wherever you are. God's grace is there for you. Come out of the hiding. Hide no more. Come out of the hiding. Satan wants you to hide. But it's time to come out of the hiding and to let that light shine in you and through you. And second thing, who told you that? All the lies you've been believing, who told you that? Where did you get it from? Because when I read the Word of God, it says all things are possible in Him, through Him, with Him. If we connect in Him, if we reach out to Him, if we hold His hands, and if we let Him lead us and guide us, all things are possible. All things are possible, church. Don't stop there. The enemy wants you to stop in your journey, but don't stop there. Keep progressing, keep learning, keep growing. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit that guides us into all truth and reveals to us the truth. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we continue to worship you throughout the service, as we continue to open up our hearts to you, Lord. Lord, give us the strength. Give us the power, Lord. May there be increased desire within each and every one of us, Lord, to seek you and to worship you. Lord, you know where we are. Lord, you see everything before even we say your word. And Lord, we hold on to your word, Lord. Lord, as we come out of the hiding, Lord, fill us. Lord, refresh us. Lord, and as we incline our ears to you again, Lord, give us Lev Shammai, listening heart. Give us listening heart, Lord, so that we may not drift away from the path that you've set before us, Lord. Father, as one body, Lord, we want to seek you. We want to honor you, Lord. We want to worship you. We want to praise you, Lord God. And we want to see this nation praising you with one voice and one spirit. So, Lord, we trust you. And we put our faith and our hope in you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, church.